Good morning and welcome back to another edition of Biz Talk. We're glad you joined us this morning. My name is Tony Bush. Randy's out golfing today. Randy, I hope you hit a hole in one, every one. We have a great show for you this morning. Our guest is Scott Bushke. Scott Bushke is the owner and founder of Cornerstone Business Services, Inc. It's a mergers and acquisitions firm in Green Bay. And we're going to be talking about how to position your company for sale, if you're a seller, and how to purchase a company if you're a buyer. So stay tuned. We're going to be getting to Scott in just a few minutes. I first want to tell you a little bit about our SCORE chapter. Our SCORE chapter is located in Appleton in the Chamber Building. We have about 55 mentors in our chapter. We service an 8-county area. We go from Appleton to Oshkosh to Fond du Lac, and we will offer free confidential advisory mentoring services to owners of businesses or those who are looking to start a business in the areas of marketing, IT, intellectual properties, sales, banking, accounting, finance. If you have an issue or you have a problem or you have an opportunity in your business to grow your company, consider contacting us at SCORE. You can reach us at foxcities.score.org. We have our website there, and you can find out all about our services and who's available to help you. So, excuse me, if you do have a question about your business, you want to grow your company, give us a call at 734-7101 or look us up at foxcities.score.org. In addition to the mentoring that SCORE does, we also offer some webinars, and we offer some things that are educational for business owners. And the next one coming up starting this week is our Simple Steps program. It's a five-program series, five simple steps for starting your company. The first session is going to be on May 20th. The second one is on the 27th, June 3rd, June 10th, June 11th, and June 17th. And you can find out more information about this on the website at foxcities.score.org. Just a quick summary. The first session is Simple Steps for Starting Your Company. What's it all about? What are you in for? What should you be considering if you're going to start a business? That's going to be held at the Copper Rock Coffee Cafe in downtown Appleton on May 20th in the morning at 8 o'clock from 8 to 12:30. We have breakfast and lunch included, $25 a person. And then on May 27th, we have our second session. That's going to be talking about how should you organize your company. Should I be an LLC, an S-Corp, an Inc., corporation, sole proprietor, the merits and the things that are not so good about each one of those, and what do you consider in organizing your firm? The third session is on June 3rd. That's going to be talking about marketing. We'll be doing a lot on social media, teaching folks how to use tweeting, LinkedIn, Facebook, how to use the computer to promote your company. Session number 4 is on June 10. We're going to be talking about financial statements, how to read a balance sheet, income statements, statement of cash flows. We have a case study that we present to the class that evening, and that will be done by Mary Lou Vandehei, who's a former accountant with Kimberly Clark, and she's one of our SCORE mentors. And we have a case study we walk you through, and we give you a disc that night. And on the disc are all the blank forms that we just went through in the case study. So you can take that home and you can plug in your own numbers. It's a great learning experience, great opportunity. And then the last session is on June 11th. June 17th. That's going to be where do you find the money? I need the money for my company. And we're going to be talking about how do you apply for a loan at the bank. We're going to be talking about crowdfunding, revolving loan funds, and structuring debt. So if you're interested in this program, check us out at foxcities.score.org. The first session is at the Copper Rock Coffee Cafe on College Avenue, May 20. The next four are going to be at the Chamber Building in the evening from 6 until 9, located at 125 North Superior Street. So go check us out. Want to thank our sponsors for bringing the program to you each weekend. We couldn't do the show without them, and we really appreciate their support for SCORE and for the BizTalk radio program. Our sponsors include Fox Communities Credit Union, Alberts & Hailing CPAs, Legal Business Edge, LLC, Sarah DeBruin, our newest sponsor. Thank you, Sarah. Also want to thank Bank First National for being our bank sponsor. And we have two more sponsors we want to thank. They're kind of like barter sponsors, if you will. Candeo Marketing, formerly eBiz Results in Oshkosh. Candeo Marketing built our website, biztalkwithscore.com. So if you'd like to go visit our website at biztalkwithscore.com, you can listen to previously recorded programs. We archive them out there. If you'd like to re-listen to a program, you can do it at biztalkwithscore.com. We also want to thank Jerry Mader and Larry Desch for their assistance from the Business News. Every 2 weeks, they come out with a great publication called The Business News, and they promote our program in there. So thank you, guys. And if you're in business and you're looking for some information about the business climate in East Central Wisconsin, you should really subscribe to it. For $20 a year, you're going to get a lot of helpful information in the Business News that will help your business succeed. Well, with that, we're going to take a quick break right now. We're going to come back and we'll talk to Scott Buschke. We'll meet Scott and hear about Cornerstone Business Services. You're listening to BizTalk on the voice of the Fox Cities 1150 WHBY.
From ordinary tax concerns to extraordinary tax situations, let Alberts & Hailing CPAs help you through tax planning, business consulting, from startup to sell-off, and more. They specialize in creating comfortable financial management plans for you and your business. Call today in the Fox Cities at 886-2241 or in Green Bay at 405-8549. Alberts & Hailing, simplifying the steps toward success. Securities offered through Woodbury Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA, SIP. Woodbury Financial Services, Inc. and Alberts & Hailing CPAs are non-affiliated entities.
I am attorney Sarah DeBruin, owner of Legal Business Edge, and I want you to know your options. Intellectual property doesn't have to be confusing. If you have an original idea and are considering patents, trademarks, copyrights, or protecting your company logo, let me partner with you and make it easy to build and protect your intellectual property portfolio. Legal Business Edge. Know your options. Call 920-851-7761 or visit LegalBusinessEdge.com.
You're out there making life happen and documenting it, sharing it, living it. Fox Communities Credit Union is right here with you, helping you feel confident, saving you money, and helping you plan for life. Get a loan, get advice, get out there, and enjoy all that happens. Fox Communities Credit Union. Make life happen.
And welcome back to BizTalk this morning. Glad you joined us. We're in the studio this morning. Scott Buschke is our guest, and Scott is the owner of Cornerstone Business Services Incorporated, located in Green Bay. Good morning, Scott.
Good morning, Tony.
Glad to have you in the show this morning. It's really a great topic, and I think it's timely for a lot of folks who are listening in the audience. Tell us a little bit about your background, and what is Cornerstone Business Services? What do they do there?
First of all, as far as my background, I'm a proud father of three kids and my wife, and I had to throw a shout-out to Emily and Drew because they're worried that I'm not going to get back in time for the big T-ball match at 10:30, but I might be a couple minutes late, but I will get back, guys.
Good luck, kids.
Yeah, but as far as Cornerstone goes, it's a M&A or merger and acquisition company, as you said, and located in Green Bay, another office down in Iowa. We work all over the country and actually internationally from time to time, but helping business owners mostly sell their companies, you know, learning what that process is or helping them build value up ahead of time. But when it comes to they thinking about selling, whether they're retiring or whatever the reason is, helping them understand what their business is worth today, you know, what the market looks like, and then if that makes sense, putting together a book or telling the story about the company, doing all the research of who we think the different private equity groups or strategic buyers may be, and then running a confidential process to help them maximize that sale. And on the flip side, we also work, you know, on the buy side and helping individuals. We're helping a retired executive from John Deere right now down in Iowa try to find a company. We just put a letter of intent in on a company he's looking at yesterday before we left the office. Private equity groups and also companies that are looking to grow through acquisition, we can help
Okay.
With that as well.
When did you start your company, Scott?
I started the company back in 2001, January 2001, coming up on 15 years.
Yeah, and you have a number of staff working with you to help out?
Yes, there's a staff of 11. We've got about six other deal makers like myself that are working on clients throughout the area, and then also some support staff to help them.
Now, you have a pretty unique culture in your company. A standard is no one person works on too many deals, right?
Correct. Yeah, that's one thing that really sets us apart is that we really work on, we kind of have it the five client guarantee that one of our advisors will not work on more than five clients at any given time, because we've seen that you could be the best deal maker in the world, but if you've got too much going on in your business life, you just don't have enough time, energy, and resources to get it done. So we'd rather be very choosy up front, take on a few, make sure we get those sold, and then move on to the next client than just telling everybody what they want to hear.
Well, if I were to translate that into banking language, I think you're probably striving to be more of a relationship provider than you are just a transaction provider.
Exactly. And that's where about 70% of our clients come through relationships that we've built from other professionals and things like that that trust us with their clients when it comes time to selling.
Do you have what sort of tools do you have to get the ball rolling for the client if they should come and want to talk to you about selling their company?
Yeah, we have two different tools that we've used, and whether you're thinking about selling your company or, as we've talked off air, just if people want to check up to see kind of where they're at today. The one is the EOV, and that's the estimate of value, and we've set that up that, instead of going to get a certified valuation that could cost $5,000 to $30,000, depending because they've got to do certain things, we charge $1,500, and what we look at is take a look at their company, their industry, recast their financials to make sure that they're correctly looking at them, and then looking at what other companies have sold for around the country in that specific industry, and can come up and say, hey, in today's industry, in today's marketplace with everything else going on, here's what your company most likely would sell for on the open market. So that's someone that if you're looking just for a checkup to understand the value, or if you are thinking about selling, that's the first thing that we would do before we would even ask you to put together a contract, because we want to make sure that we're on the same page before anybody spends a bunch of time or money. And then the other is the business and market analysis. And that's for someone that's maybe 3 to 5 years out from selling or longer.
Yep.
Because that will also do the estimate of value to get that checkup. But then also, we'll take a saleability survey to see how saleable your company is. And it breaks it down into 8 different categories, how saleable you are overall and compared to your industry peers. We look at how your financials are, what's your employee cost on a percentage basis tied to what the industry should be? Are you high or are you low there? And other things that really highlight how you're doing compared to your industry peers. We also look at, get you an industry report to see what's going on in your industry and what the 5 years future looks like. And then also M&A or kind of what's going on in the business world, what's going on in the M&A cycle. Because as we'll talk later, the M&A cycle and things that you can't control sometimes are a bigger reason why you get a higher or lower value to your company than what you can control within your company.
Right. What's the market like now, Scott? Are there a lot of sellers out there? Are there a lot of buyers out there? What's going on out there?
Yeah, for the clients that we work with, most of our clients are in that, $5 to $100 million range, but we go down as low as $2 million, and we're talking to a client right now that's $170 million. So I guess the wide range would be $200 million. But for the clients that are in that $5 to $50 million range where most of our clients sit right now, it's very much a seller's market. And if you look at overall, even the smaller companies, it's position over the last 2 years, it's continued to move to more and more every category to more of a seller's market. And that's because as you talked about, the number of buyers, there's many more buyers out there for a $20 million company than there are sellers that are own companies of that size. So when you take a look and say, if there's more buyers than there are sellers, it's kind of the econ 101. It creates that competition and
price goes up.
Price goes up, exactly.
Yeah. Well, we're going to listen to more from Scott after we take this break. You're listening to BizTalk on the Voice of the Fox Cities 1150 WHBY.
Are you feeling less than confident in your personal or business finances? At Albertson Haling CPAs, they work with individuals and small business owners to simplify finances and maximize profits. Through a variety of services like asset protection, tax planning, and more, let them guide you through a smooth financial plan. Call today in the Fox Cities at 886-2241 or Green Bay at 405-8549. Albertson Haling, simplifying the steps toward success. Securities offered through Woodbury Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA, SIPC. Woodbury Financial Services, Inc. and Albertson Haling CPAs are not affiliated entities.
You're out there making life happen and documenting it, sharing it, living it. Fox Communities Credit Union is right here with you, helping you feel confident, saving you money, and helping you plan for life. Get a loan, get advice, get out there. and enjoy all that happens. Fox Communities Credit Union. Make life happen.
If you got the money, honey, I've got the time. We'll go honky-tonky land. We'll have a time. We'll have more fun, baby, all the way down the line. If you got the money, honey, I've got the time.
And we're making time for you this morning. We have Scott Buschke in our studio this morning. Scott is the owner of Cornerstone Business Services Incorporated, located in Green Bay. It's a mergers and acquisitions firm. And if you have a question on this topic, please feel free to call us this morning at 281-1150. You can reach us at 281-1150 in Appleton. Outside Appleton, it's 866-887-1150. Scott, in the first segment, you talked a little bit about the $5 million to $50 million, and that's kind of your sweet spot. How did you arrive at that? There's some value to this.
Yeah, when I was looking to set up my company, I looked around and did a lot of research on where the players were, and I said, you know, I'm not the smartest guy in the world, but I want to find, if I can find, and there's two islands, and one's completely, you know, a nice beach, and the other one's heavily fortified, I'm going to where the nice beach is, because it's easier to get to the island. And so I asked around and saw a lot of business brokers and commercial real estate people, that were, you know, going after the Main Street businesses, the zero to a million businesses, because that's where the majority of the businesses are. The smaller the size, the larger amount of businesses. And there was a lot of people playing there. And then I asked around and said, okay, you know, if you had a $100 million company, where would you go to? And saw the big investment banks out of Milwaukee, Chicago, New York, mm-hmm. and things along that line. It's $100 million to a billion. But I kept asking, if you had a $5 or a $15 million company, who would you go to? And I asked in Green Bay. I asked in Wisconsin. I asked in the Midwest. And I asked nationwide. And everybody kind of hesitated before they talked because they said, well, the business broker would love to take a deal like that on because it's a huge commission, but they don't have the systems and processes in place. They're just going to kind of take it and throw it up on a website and wait for people to call and not do a very good job with it. And it's going to be one of maybe 20 listings. And the big groups, the big investment banks out of Chicago could take it on. But quite frankly, they don't get out of bed for, you know, maybe sometimes for $1 million fee or more. And if they did take it on, which I've heard from other clients that we worked with that, well, yeah, their new MBA student cut their teeth on my deal. And when this is 80% of your net worth and you get one chance to do this right, you don't want someone cutting their teeth on your deal. So what we've done is taken that investment banking, that high touch, very proactive, you know, quality versus quantity approach, and brought it down to the lower middle market. And we found we were really able to differentiate ourselves there, and we've created a process there where we can be profitable but yet still deliver those high level of services
that
for a few clients.
Quality service.
Exactly.
Yeah. We have a caller on the line. Good morning, George.
Good morning. Thank you for taking my call.
You bet.
As a business owner, what are some of the more major things I should focus on so that when I'm ready to sell, my business is going to appeal to the largest number of buyers?
That's a great question. Yeah, I would say, you know, number one would be, you know, look at your management team. If you're an owner and you're doing everything, you've got a bunch of worker bees. If I'm looking at it as a buyer, I'm going, boy, if you're not staying on board for 3 to 5 years to make sure I transition the relationships with the customers or to get those processes out of your head, I don't know if I want to buy that business. So making sure that you somewhat work yourself out of the business or building up a management team. Also look at, you know, again, where are the biggest risks? Customer concentration. You know, if you've grown 10 or 20% a year for the last 7 years, that's great. But if your one biggest customer went from 15% of your business now to 70% of your business, cash flow wise, you're making more money. But as far as value wise, it's not going to get the same value if that same growth was, you know, where the top customer, usually you want a 20%. Or less is your number one customer from a customer concentration standpoint. So I would say, and then also putting the processes and systems in place. As Tony knows, the financial reporting is so important. And that's what a lot of companies, you know, you talk about private equity groups. That's what a lot of private equity groups do to maximize that value and get those big returns is they come in and really professionalize that company. And if you can do that ahead of time, you will get a much higher value for your company because it's not so dependent on yourself or one supplier or one customer to maintain that stability.
Does that help, George?
Yes, thank you very much.
Well, thanks for the call, George. Have a good weekend. Scott, we talked a little bit in the first segment about an EOV, estimate of value.
Correct.
And what would you liken that to? I mean, I've got my idea what an EOV is a business owner, but what's it like?
I was talking, a business owner asked that the other day and said, why would I get an EOV or how often should I get one? And I said, you know, and his son was just graduating from Marquette University this spring. And I said, think about when your son started preschool. My daughter Emily just graduated preschool. And I've got a long way to get to senior year Marquette. But think about from preschool through grade school, through high school, all the way through college, and your son or daughter never got a report card. Yeah. That's really what this is. You wouldn't know. Should they be in the gifted talented program? Should they be in the remedial things? Are they great at math but terrible at reading? You wouldn't know what they're good at or not good at. And all of a sudden, like you said, we get to that graduation date, and can they graduate? We might have found out they could have graduated three years early, or you might find out that they're far away from graduating, because they have to take that one last test, which is, in our point, selling the business.
Right.
So we really look at that as, and the ironic thing is that most people know what their car's worth. Most people know what their house is worth within $5,000 to $10,000. But most business owners, 80% of their net worth is tied up in their business. And the studies out there are 65% to 70% don't have a very good idea of what their business is worth. So when they're thinking about retiring, when they're talking to their estate planner, they might be giving them a number of $15 million when it's really worth $8 million, and it completely blows up everything that they've tried to do.
Well, that raises another good point, Scott. If a business owner thinks their business is worth $10 million, and it's based on their cash flow or their profitability or the value of the assets in the company, the equipment, the machinery, real estate improvements, and that sort of thing, what's really dictating the value of the business?
Cash is king. And at the end of the day, it's cash flow, and then all the, either attractors or detractors, like we talked about. And it's funny because we deal with business owners all the time, and that's where I think we get a lot of referrals from professionals, because there's a lot of business brokers or national M&A advisors out there that will get you to go to a seminar, tell you what you want to hear, and then, ask you for a check for $50,000 or $60,000 up front. Where we do with our estimate of value, whether you're working, want to work and sell your business, or you just want to know as a benchmark to kind of plot the course along the way. Like I said, it's only $1,500, but we tell you what you need to hear in order to make a well-informed decision, not what you want to hear. So there's many clients that say, I want to sell, and we tell them the number, and they go, I can't sell for that. And then we give them different ideas of what they can do to get to that next level. But it really is interesting. We call it the proud parent syndrome. Business owners many times liken their businesses more to one of their own child than they do some kind of a asset class that they own. And again, everybody's kid is the best looking, the best athlete, and the smartest kid in school, and then they price it accordingly.
Owners get very emotionally attached to their businesses.
Absolutely.
They get their sweat and passion, and everything's in there.
Absolutely. We over the years, we brought in business psychologists just to try to help them understand. We know the numbers make sense for you, Mr. or Mrs. Seller, but emotionally, are you ready to let go? And unfortunately, that's one of the biggest reasons businesses don't sell, is that people do hang on too long, and they're emotionally tied, and they can't separate their own identity from the business, and they wait till it's too late, and then the numbers start going down, and you kind of get into a death spiral and end up not selling the company.
Yep. Now, the value of the business is based on cash flow, and an investor is going to buy the business because they know they're going to get a return on their investment within a reasonable period of time with minimal risk. They've assessed the risk factor. That's why they're going to pay that much.
Right.
But what are the other – I mean, there are market influences out there. A business that's worth $10 million today, everything's the same 20 years from now, might not be worth that $10 million at that time.
Yeah, that's, I think, one of the biggest myths that business owners and entrepreneurs have, is that they think they can, as we all are entrepreneurs, we're opportunistic, not pessimistic, so we think whatever we're doing today, it's only going to get better. We can control everything. Nothing's ever going to go affect my business or things that I can't control. And most companies out there, there's very few market leaders, as we know. So most businesses are average or a little bit above or a little bit below average. And for those companies that are moving along and at a growth rate, but not, 20% growth rate or anything like that, all things remaining the same, there's more things that they can't control that will affect the value of their company than what they can control. And, a point of fact that if you were in 2008 and, said, boy, I want to sell and it's worth $15 million. And boy, I could live my ideal lifestyle on $15 million. But you know what? I just want to hang on one more year. We hear that all the time. Just one more year and I can make just a little bit more money, or I can get just to the next level where I want it to be. And then 2008, 2009 hits.
Yeah.
Economy crashes.
Yeah.
Now they could still, maybe they're, resistant to the recession, so they still hit a 10% growth rate. Hey, we went from, 2 million to 2, 3 in EBITDA, but my business is worth now less. How is that? That's not fair. How does that work? Well, the buyers all went away. Financing dried up. Interest rates were still low, but you couldn't get a loan anyways. Buyers weren't spending any money. Everybody was shoving it, just hoarding cash and not spending anything because they didn't know if the world was going to end. And that's the biggest thing that I see out there that we try to do, and we try to educate. That's why, you know, thank you very much for letting me be on your program. And I've been writing, you know, monthly articles for the Press Gazette for the last 8 years, just trying to educate people that, you know, what that process is and what it is, because there's a lot of times that the things that they can't control will dictate more of the value that they'll get than what they won't get. And right now, as we talked before, that, you know, there's more buyers out there than sellers. They've all got records amount of cash. You've got interest rates at record lows that are going to go up probably starting this summer, but they're low right now. Financing is pretty aggressive right now, especially for the larger deal. It's real aggressive. The economy overall is doing pretty well, and there's not anything real scary out there for buyers that are so you can either grow, you know, leave all this money in the bank earning nothing in interest, or grow or through acquisition. And people are growing organically slowly because it's not – the economy hasn't taken off.
Correct.
But they're going, I got all this cash. I'm not earning anything on it. Let's go out there and buy our growth top and bottom line. And that's what we're seeing companies, private equity groups, and financial family offices doing right now, really creating some pretty good auction environments. In fact, we had one client down in Iowa that we worked on just this last month, and it's in the pallet industry, which is not a very sexy industry, or it's fairly commoditized. Mm-hmm. And we were able to generate 18 written indications of interest from buyers all over North America.
Wow.
And the company's doing, you know, about $27 million in sales, about a $4 million EBITDA. So it had some nice margins, but it's a pallet business. And we were expecting to get 3 to 5. In a normal environment, that's what we probably would have got interested buyers. We got 18. That's just to give you an idea of how strong of a market it is out there right now for sellers that are thinking of selling.
Let's quickly identify that term. You've used it a couple times, EBITDA. What is that term?
Yeah, we look at a normalized EBITDA when we know. And so, first of all, we're going to normalize the business and take a look at your salary and say, if, you know, Tony, if, what would it cost you to hire someone to do what you do? Well, $100,000. Okay, but you're taking a $300,000 salary, so we can add back $200,000 to the bottom line. Or vice versa, if you're only taking a $40,000 salary, we'd have to subtract $60,000 from the bottom line.
Right.
So we look at, you know, your salary. We look at your rent, because most people own the buildings in a separate LLC, and make sure that's fair market. We look at any personal expenses that might be tied into the company or one-time business cost, and then get down to that normalized net income. Then we add back the interest tied to your long-term debt, the depreciation, any amortization, and any income taxes that you might have paid for the prior year, and get into that, to that normalized EBITDA number, because that's what most businesses, when buyers look at that, it's kind of a set formula, so
that's
they know
like
what they're buying.
The operating income of a company, right?
Right.
It reflects the sales and the cost of making those sales.
Exactly.
And all that other stuff is not being considered at that point, because those are pretty subjective.
Yeah, yes, exactly, because some people, you know, you talk about cash flow or SD, and so it's a set number, and we want to get what are the true sales, what are the true costs of goods, and what are the true operating costs of this company, and then what else falls to the bottom line, and then that number we look at a certain multiple of EBITDA.
EBITDA. So EBITDA is a pretty important number, and a business owner would want to track that and see how it's doing from year to year to year.
Correct.
But the multiples can change from year to year to year.
Absolutely. You know, something in 2008, early 2008 compared to late 2008 was at least a one multiple change. So if you had a $2 million EBITDA company, you might have sold it for $10 million in April. You might have sold for $7.5 million in December, exact same business, just a different environment, if you could sell at all.
And doesn't that go to your point earlier, Scott, where you were talking about business owners should keep track of the EOV and find out what their business is worth, and they might not be ready to sell yet, but just follow that. But then they should take and think outside the box. Maybe I should sell now, because maybe in 2 or 3 years the economy is going to dry up, and I don't want to sell for 10 years, but if I get sell and get a good price now, I could do something else with the money, I think.
Right. The cycle goes, you know, through every 3 to 5 or 4 to 7 years. I've seen that, you know, it's going to get good. This will be some bubble that'll burst.
Yep.
You won't be able to do much for the next 6 to 12 months or very low values, and then it'll slowly take itself back up again to a peak. I would say, yeah, right now we're at a peak. You know, I was just talking to a lender who's been in the business for 30 years, and he said, yeah, a good credit market lasts from 4 to 7 years historically. Never more than 7 years. And I said, well, what year are we in? You're late into year 5.
Okay.
So according to him, he thinks there's a year or two left before the market will crash. I don't even know if it's that long, quite honestly. You know, I would love it to be, because it's a lot more fun working in good markets than it is in tougher markets. But that's something that, you know, I look at it again. You talk about the report card, or also, you know, I just got my annual physical done in April. You know, it's a physical to say, okay, what's going on, how are your numbers, where are you at, what can you get, you know. He said, hey, you need to work on some things. I can tell you've been busy because you haven't been working out as much. So I got to, you know, do a few things going forward to, you know, get my body back in line. And it's the same thing with your businesses, you know, knowing, you know, where you're at and where is your goal. And, you know, we'll get into a little bit more of that in the future too here.
How can a business owner keep track of what's going on in the economy, those market influences that often it help dictate the value of the company? What do they look at to monitor that?
Yeah, you know, you can go to our website. We have there's a survey that's called the Market Pulse Survey, and it's done quarterly. And I actually helped write it. It's done with the International Business Broker Association, the M&A Source, and Pepperdine University out of
you
California.
You are very active with those groups.
Yeah.
You've been that way for a long time.
Yes.
And that's a good thing.
Yeah, thank you. And so I actually take about 140-page PowerPoint presentation from Pepperdine University and consolidate it down into an executive summary. And we've got them all on our website. So
what is your website?
www.cornerstone-business.com. So cornerstone-business.com. Okay. And if you go to our resources page, you'll see all the quarterly results. But why I think it's a neat thing is because most surveys that you hear out there, you read in the paper,
right,
are for $100 million or billion-dollar deals or public deals. But if I've got a $5 million company, what's going on with a $2 billion company is not the same as what's going on with my $5 or $10 million
Very
business.
True.
So this is, we interview people, different brokers and M&A advisors all over the country. We usually get about participants from 45 to 48 states around the country. So it's a nice national representation of what's going on in the segments in value-wise from 0 to 500, 500,000 to a million, a million to 2 million, 2 million to 5 million, and 5 to 50. So you can really get from 0 to 50 million in value.
Just check out your bracket,
right? You can see what's
right?
going on inside. Is from a value standpoint, is a buyer's or seller's market? What are the valuations doing? What's the structure look like from deals? Because that's also important. You know, it's not just purchase price. It's what's the structure look like in a deal as well.
What was that website again, Scott? That's a good resource.
Yeah, it's cornerstone-business.com. So cornerstone-business.com.
And what's your phone number in case someone would want to call and talk about this sort of thing with you?
Sure. 920-436-9890. 436-9890.
Great. We're going to take our last break right now. We'll come back on the other side, wrap up our program. We'll get some more information from Scott. And we're going to talk about the buyer buying a company. We've been talking about sellers. We're going to touch on the buyers buying companies. You're listening to BizTalk on the Voice of the Fox Cities, 1150 WHBY.
We're here today with Bill Bradley, Vice President at Bank First. Bill, we know Bank First was founded over 100 years ago along the lakeshore and has been growing and expanding. We also heard you have plans to build a new location in the Appleton market soon. Can you tell us where you will be located and what we can expect as a new customer of your bank?
Sure. Bank First will be located on Wisconsin Avenue near the Fox River Mall. It'll be at the intersection of Highway 41 and Wisconsin Avenue. As a customer of Bank First, you can expect to enjoy a banking experience with a high level of personal attention. We strive to focus on long-lasting relationships by providing flexible options and solutions for both your business and personal needs.
Thanks, Bill. It sounds like a refreshing change to work with experienced people who take the time to understand our needs. For more information, visit www.bankfirstnational.com. Equal housing lender and member FDIC.
At Albertson Hailing CPAs, your success is their success. They can clarify any tax situation and help your business take the steps in managing it confidently. They offer services from startup to sell-off, including payroll, bookkeeping, accounting, and more. Albertson Hailing, simplifying the steps toward success. Call today in the Fox Cities at 886-2241 or in Green Bay at 405-8549. Securities offered through Woodbury Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA, SIPC. Woodbury Financial Services, Inc. and Albertson Hailing CPAs are not affiliated entities.
I am attorney Sarah DeBruin, owner of Legal Business Edge, and I want you to know your options. We can partner with you to reach creative legal solutions for your business, from contract drafting and negotiation, patents and trademarks, commercial transactions, and governmental compliance.
Timely and candid answers coupled with high energy and passion define Sarah's approach to legal counsel.
Know your options. Call me at 920-851-7761 or visit legalbusinessedge.com.
We're in the money. We're in the money. We've got a lot of what it takes to get along. We're in the money. The sky is sunny. Old Man Depression, you are through. You done us wrong. Oh, we
And welcome back to Biz Talk. It's our final segment. We're here with Scott Buschke, who owns a wonderful company in Green Bay called Cornerstone Business Services, Inc. It's wonderful because he's a resource and he's relationship-focused when he's talking to his clients who either want to sell a business or buy a business. And as Scott pointed out in his last segment, so many business owners are so impassionately involved in their business. It's 80% of their net worth, but they really don't know the value of that. And Scott has some great resources at his website to help you understand your business value. What's that website again, Scott?
www.cornerstone-business.com.
Great. And we're going to come back this segment. We want to talk about the three-legged concept. What is that three-legged
stool? Before I get into that, I just want to, you know, congratulate you, Tony. You talk about resources. And for the listeners out there, you know, Tony just was awarded from the SBA, the Financial Services Champion for the whole state of Wisconsin. So that's a pretty cool award for your Priora Cash Flow Management Company. So congratulations on that.
Thanks, Scott. Thank you.
But the three-legged stool, what we talk about is, you know, the theme through this whole thing is that, you know, as far as the entrepreneurs, you know, kind of being optimistic and not checking in and not understanding what their business is worth and just someday it's going to sell. And the trigger a lot of times, unfortunately, is a negative trigger of health reasons or they're burnt out or some positive issues. And what we want to talk about is the three-legged stool is sitting down and meeting with an M&A advisor or someone who can do an accurate valuation for your company on a regular basis. I would recommend every 2 to 3 years, understanding what it's worth, then meeting with your accountant and understanding from a tax standpoint, what are my tax consequences or liabilities on that?
Very important.
And then the last thing is meeting with your financial advisor and making sure you got the right financial advisor, because at the end of the day, what are you doing this for? And most people are looking for a certain quality of life or a legacy. And what we've said is that the three-legged stool is understanding what you're worth, what your net is going to be out of that business, and then sitting down with your financial advisor saying, okay, here's what my assets are today. Here's what my liabilities are. You know, here's the hole that I have to get to my ideal lifestyle, the house in Florida or whatever it is. And once the business nets out, the sale could net out and fill that hole or more, sell the business. You know, because at the end of the day, and a lot of people go, well, I want to work a few more years. You can work as many years as you want, but there's very few small windows of when you can sell your business and hit those goals. So at the end of the day, you know, make sure if you hit that goal, take a look at selling it, but working constantly with those three professionals, the accountant, the M&A advisor, and the financial advisor, because I think that will help you reach your goals of what you started out for anyways, because too many people get into the day to day and all of a sudden they just start putting out fires and 1 year blends into the next year and all of a sudden, you know, it's 30 years later and they don't know why they're doing it in the first place.
And to your, that's a great point, Scott, because we talked earlier about market influence can affect the value of the company.
Absolutely.
And the business owner might control what's going on inside their business, but they can't control those market influences. So if you're doing a checkup and your business is worth this much money right now and you want to keep working for another 20 years, sell a company. You can afford to work wherever you want to work.
Right. And one sad story on that, we had a gentleman we talked to, and I think the value was about 20-some million, a little over $20 million. You know, the guy lived a very frugal lifestyle, had more than enough money to live for him and his family and everything else for years and years and years, more than he'd ever spend if he could try to. And we sat down and said, now was a good market. It was in 2007 or 8. And he said, just one more year. Well, all of a sudden, we talked with him. It didn't hear from him for a while. Found out he went to a Packer game. Had a stroke at the Packer game, went to St. V's, and two weeks later, you know, passed on. And, you know, he never got the opportunity to see the fruits of all of his hard work. And then his family now had to take over the company where he was the man, and his wife and his son and daughter were trying to run the company. They were losing customers left and right. And I don't know if they ever did sell that company, but if they did, it was worth at least half of what it would have been worth when he was there.
Right. Well, that's a good point. And it just goes to show that the business owner needs to look at so many different parts of their business, not just what's going on inside the walls, but what's going on outside.
Right.
And how well would they be received when they go to sell their business.
Exactly.
Because we can only do two things with our businesses. We can sell them or just shut them down.
Right. And unfortunately, too many people are told what they want to hear or that proud parent syndrome,
right.
And then they go out at some very high price, and at the end of the day, they don't get that price. They get burnt out. It starts to lose sales. It starts to lose profits and then goes down. And next thing you know, they're liquidating for 10 or 20 cents on the dollar versus selling for four, five, six times their EBITDA like we talked about.
Well, we want to ask you for your biz tip, but first we have about a minute or a minute and a half. Can you talk a little bit about the buyer What's a buyer's role? How do you help buyers?
Yeah, we can help a buyer grow or buy a company as well, or grow through acquisition. And we've got a buy-side division that we can work exclusively with you. And what we've seen out there right now is because there are so many buyers, especially on the larger companies, on the smaller companies, right, there's still some good opportunities out there. But on the larger side, there's so much competition that you're gonna have a hard time buying a company. If you do, it's going to be a pretty high price, that we can help you set up a strategy, not grow for the sake of growth, but really put together a strategy and understand what you do, because, and my tip will be for the buyers then at the end of the day here. But what we found is with all the baby boomers out there, you know, some of them just haven't taken that step yet. Mm-hmm. But if you call them in a credible way and say, hey, I've got a client and here's their background, they pay all of our fees, we can move very quickly, we can move quietly, it'll allow that more and more people are raising their hand and getting a chance. We've got one client right now who's looked at 45 different deals, that only he's looking at. He has no competition against.
Right. And when you sell your company, you have to be strategic about it so as not to upset your customers or your employees.
Right.
You got to handle the things correctly.
Exactly.
What's your biz tip, Scott?
On the buy side, if you're looking to buy a company or grow through acquisition, do not, use the strategy of I'll know it when I see it. Okay. Put together a strategy, talk to some people, and really make sure that you're growing for the sake of growing smart, not just for the sake of growth.
Define it.
Exactly.
And then contact Scott Buschke at Cornerstone Business Services, Inc.
Thank you, Tony.
And thanks for being our guest this morning, Scott. It's a great program.
Thank you.
You've been listening to BizTalk on the Voice of the Fox Cities, 1150 WHBY. Friday, but it's already spent.